Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends,
welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Today we are going to study Malachi chapter 3, verses 16 to 18. Malachi chapter 3, verses 16 to 18. The Bible says, "Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened, and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him, for them that feared the Lord, and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels. And I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not." Now, in this particular passage, we are dealing with a doctrinal application to the tribulation, going into the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. And we are dealing with something concerning some tribulation saints. So we want to deal with the doctrine first. And then what we want to do is we make a spiritual application here that will help you and me in our own lives as we think about what we're reading here. In this passage, we are reading about people that fear the Lord. He says, "They that feared the Lord." All right, now in the doctrinal sense, during the tribulation, the fear of the Lord is going to be one of the basis for salvation in the tribulation. Notice in Revelation, in the book of Revelation, there is an angel that comes flying in the midst of heaven preaching the everlasting gospel. Look in Revelation chapter 14, verse 6 and 7, and notice what he says. Revelation 14, 6 and 7, "I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people, saying with a loud voice, Fear God, and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come, and worship him that made heaven and earth, and the sea, and the fountains of waters." Notice the first thing the angel says, fear God. You see that? So here in Malachi chapter 3, verse 16, when he says, "they that feared the Lord," he's talking about tribulation saints. They are the ones who feared the Lord. They are the ones who, because of their fear of God, responded to the everlasting gospel, or will respond to the everlasting gospel, and be saved. Okay? Then he says, "they spake often one to another." Well, during the tribulation, there's going to be a head chopping going on. There's going to be a lot of martyrdom, a lot of persecution. And people will be dying because of their testimony of Jesus Christ. Okay? And because of the Word of God. Now, the people who are going to die as a result of their testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ are people who are unashamed to confess Him. Remember when the Lord said to His disciples, if a person is ashamed to confess him, then he said, "I'm not going to confess him before my Father, but whosoever confesseth me before men, him will I confess before my Father which is in heaven." All right, that same thing applies to these men in the tribulation. He says, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10, verse 32, "Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Think not that I am come to send peace on the earth," and boy, they'll see it during that time. So you've got these men who are not afraid of their testimony, and they are going to, and women, and they are going to be willing to testify of the Lord Jesus Christ, and when they do, because they fear the Lord and not men, many of them are going to lose their lives. The Lord warned his disciples in Matthew chapter 10. He says, "Fear not them which are able to destroy or to kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. That's Matthew 10:28. Okay? And so the Lord says, look, if they're going to be after your body, don't worry about it, because they can't get your soul. I can get your soul. So if you're going to fear somebody, fear me. In Revelation chapter 6, you see the saints of those of the tribulation, and they are under the altar. In Revelation 6:9, they are the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. All right, that testimony that they held is the testimony of Jesus Christ. Look in Revelation chapter 20, verse 4. Revelation 20, verse 4. And I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God. So they weren't afraid, or not going to be afraid, to say anything about God because of their fear of the Lord. Now, what they're going to do is they're going to speak often one to another. In other words, they're going to encourage each other. They're going to edify each other. They're going to assemble. They're going to be hidden. They have to run to Sela Petra. They'll be in Carmel. They'll be in Bashan, scattered around. And they're going to be encouraging each other and strengthening each other through their testimony. They'll speak often one to another in order to stay in the fight, if you will. All right, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. And notice, a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. In other words, God looks at that thing and he says, boy, I'm going to remember this. I mean, what these guys are having to put up with during this persecution, he said, I don't want to forget this. Now, these are very special people who are willing to risk their lives for their fear of me and not their fear of man. And the fact that they are willing to give testimony, I'm not going to forget this. Many of them will die. The Bible says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. All right, now, in verse 17, they shall be mine. In other words, this fear of God and this speaking to each other and this willing to testify of Jesus Christ is the basis for their salvation. Okay? They're going to be mine. They're saved. And he says, in the day that I make up my jewels. Well, you saw that in Zechariah chapter 9, I believe it is, in verse 16, speaking of saints of God, Zechariah 9:16, the Bible says, the Lord their God shall save them in that day as the flock of his people, for they shall be as the stones of a crown lifted up as an ensign upon his land. See that? As stones of a crown. Now, these are his saints. And so they're going to be his jewels. You know, and you'll hear people, they'll say, so-and-so is, boy, he is such a fine man. He is a jewel, or a prince of a fellow, you'll hear him say. He is a jewel. And I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. So the sparing is where they're spared from wrath, and where they are spared in the sense that they are saved during the tribulation, and they become his children, as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Now notice, the basis also of their salvation is serving the Lord Jesus Christ. There's an element of works in tribulation salvation, and a man has got to stay faithful to the Lord. He says in Revelation chapter 14, verse 12, blessed are they that... blessed are they, but I need to read the text to you, that have the testimony of Jesus and keep the commandments of God, is what the verse says. Revelation 14, verse 12, here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. So their salvation has to do also with some service of the Lord there as well. You'll see that in the talents, in the parable of the talents in Matthew chapter 25. The people that are saved during the tribulation are saved in addition to their testimony by an element of service to the Lord, whereas you and I serve the Lord as a result of our salvation, but that's not the basis for us getting saved. All right, and then in verse 18, he said, then shall you return, and that's going to be the tribulation saints going back into the land of Israel. Then shall you return and discern between the righteous and the wicked. That return could also be the resurrection of tribulation saints who have already gone, and discern between the righteous and the wicked, and between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. And during the millennial reign of the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to have an element of wicked people here, and they're not going to be real obvious about their rebellion, and they're not going to be real obvious about their lack of service to the Lord. They're going to keep it under wraps. In Isaiah chapter 26, verse 10, we find this statement, let favor be showed to the wicked, yet will he not learn righteousness. In the land of uprightness, well, there's no land like that right now, but there will be during the millennium. In the land of uprightness will he deal unjustly and will not behold the majesty of the Lord. Now, that may not be obvious to everybody during the millennial reign of the Lord Jesus Christ, but to these saints who fear the Lord, they'll be able to discern between the righteous and wicked, and they'll be able to discern between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. You know, there are people who can do what they've been told to do and do it with an unwilling heart, and it wouldn't be accounted to them. And there are people who do what they're told to do and do it willingly and gladly, and it will be accounted to them. And so these guys are going to be able to figure that thing out right away, and that's because they fear the Lord. Now, that is the doctrinal application of the verses that we're reading in Malachi chapter 3, verses 16 to 18. It has to do with tribulation saints that fear the Lord. According to Revelation 14, that's the basis of their salvation. And they, and the Lord hears what they say when they speak to each other, and knows that they think upon his name, and they're written in a book of remembrance. They are his jewels. They are spared. You know, the Lord says in Matthew chapter 24, there's going to be a tremendous amount of deception during the tribulation. And the deception is going to be so bad, it said, except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. So the Lord spares them. And then they return, and they can tell during the millennial reign of the Lord Jesus Christ who's really on the Lord's side and who's not. You see, when the 1,000 years are up, the devil's going to be loosed out of the bottomless pit, and he is going to lead a revolt against the Lord, and there are going to be literally millions of people that will go with him. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 20, verse 8, he shall go out and deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. So this wicked undercurrent, see, is just waiting for the leader, and when the devil comes out, they follow him, and they are destroyed in a moment. And the ones who feared the Lord knew who they were. You see, the disciples did not know that Judas Iscariot was the betrayer. They didn't know that he was going to be the traitor. And that's because they couldn't discern it. But Jesus Christ knew. And the Bible says he knew who would betray him. Well, during the tribulation and during the millennial reign of the Lord Jesus Christ, these people that fear the Lord are going to be able to discern right quick who's on the Lord's side and who's not on the Lord's side. Okay? And so that's the doctrinal application of Malachi chapter 3, verses 16 to 18. But I said, you know, we would look at it also from the standpoint of a spiritual application. And you know something? People that fear the Lord are an unusual bunch of people. And the Bible tells us that in any age, it is an unusual group of people that will fear the Lord, because the truth of the matter is most people don't fear the Lord. Romans chapter 3, verse 18. Romans 3, 18, the Bible says, there is no fear of God before their eyes. And that's talking about the generation. There's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that seeketh after God. Their throat is an open sepulcher. Their mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Feet swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery in their ways, and so forth and so on. No fear of God before their eyes. Now, that's something that's found in Psalm 36, verse 1. So if Paul saw it in his day, and David saw it in his day, don't you know this is the kind of thing that goes on in every generation? And it's going on in our generation right now. The Bible says in Psalm 36, verse 1, "The transgression of the wicked saith within my heart that there is no fear of God before his eyes." And people don't fear the Lord. Now, you do, or at least I pray you do, and if you don't and you're listening to this message, you should. People say, "Why should I fear him? If God is love, why should I fear him?" Because God has two sides to his nature. A side of mercy, where he extends his love to you. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's the side of mercy. And then there's a side of justice. And the side of justice will not allow God to allow wickedness in his presence in heaven. And that side allows God to basically destroy the proud and the wicked and say to those that are cursed, "But depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels." Now, we fear the Lord because we know what the Bible says about him, and we do love him. But just like I loved my father, but I also had a fear of him. And that kept me in line. So I love the Father, but I also have a fear of him, and that keeps me in line. And it should do the same to you. And I trust that it does. Now, when you fear the Lord, and you know what? People who fear the Lord speak often to each other. That's what verse 16 says. "Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another." They speak to each other often. Why? Because we understand the fear of the Lord. In other words, when you and I are together, and you're speaking about things concerning the Bible, and you know and believe those things because you fear the Lord, and the Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. You know those things and believe those things, and they become a part of you because you fear the Lord. Then when you speak, you minister to me, I minister to you about those things, and there is a mutual bond in fellowship because of our mutual fear of the Lord. Okay? And we'll speak to each other. I've got friends, you've got friends that we see on a regular basis, and they love the Lord, and I love to speak with them about things concerning God's words. Now, we can't really talk the same to the world that we can to each other when we talk about the things concerning God. I mean, we can witness to him, and we can let them know what the Bible says, but we don't really enjoy the fellowship the same way we do with people that really love God. I can remember spending time with dear saints of God who are older than I am, and we just enjoyed tremendous times of fellowship in speaking concerning things that we had read and studied and heard from the Lord God and things that we'd seen him doing. It was a great time of fellowship and a great time of testimony. All right, so "speak often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name." You know, what happens in an unusual sort of way is that here we are having fellowship about God, and we're talking, giving testimony about the great things God has done in our lives and the things that we love about him and the things that we fear about him. And God's up there going, "Hey, you hear that right there? That sounds good. Let's write that down. We don't want to forget that. Let's put that in the book of remembrance." And so these things are recorded. He writes it down in a book. And you know something? That's not only true of us who speak often to each other, but also true of us who think upon his name. Now, you know, when you fear the Lord, what happens is, and I was just talking to somebody about this the other day, that keeps you from sin. A guy was telling me, he says, "You know, one of the great things that has really helped me stay away from certain sin in my life is I know that the Lord is looking all the time." As to when he's ready on your mind, when you fear him, his name is there before you, and you're constantly thinking about that. And so it helps you stay straight because you know the Lord is there. As a matter of fact, when you think upon his name, you also remember that his name is above every name. "For there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." He has an exalted name. His name is above every name. In Ezekiel, he has to keep reminding the people over and over again, "I am the Lord." He says, "I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. And when I do it, you shall know that I am the Lord." That's a wonderful name for God. And you'll find that "the Lord" applies to the Holy Spirit, and "the Lord" applies to God the Father, and "the Lord" applies to Jesus Christ. Concerning the Spirit, the Bible says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And The Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And in Ezekiel, places like chapter 20, the Lord says, I'm going to do this so that you'll know that I am the Lord. And I'm going to do that so you'll know that I am the Lord. And that name applies to all of them. And when you think of the name Jesus, that reminds you of the fact that he saved you. The Bible says, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. It reminds you that he saved you and reminds you of what he's done for you. And so the more you think upon his name and the more you speak often with each other, the greater the things that are recorded in the book of remembrance. I mean, after all, you got to remember that Jesus said that men would be judged by the things that they said. He said, every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. So it's important that you and I speak often concerning the things of the Lord. And one of the best places for us to do that, of course, is in a good Bible-believing, Bible-preaching, Bible-teaching church. Okay? So that's the first thing that we see in this text that we make application, is that when we really fear the Lord, we enjoy being in fellowship with other people who fear the Lord, and we enjoy thinking upon God's name because those things strengthen us and edify us and keep us out of trouble. And furthermore, it is a joy to us that God would even think to remember those things. God knows there are a lot of things we've said we don't want him to remember. All right, the second thing that we notice here is that people who fear the Lord are, in verse 17, are his jewels, and people who fear the Lord are spared. You see that in verse 17? They shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels. You know, the fear of the Lord, if you really truly fear him, will cause you to come to the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved if you're not saved already. I've told you a couple of times already, but I'm reminded that Lester Roloff was preaching on the radio 10 years ago. Of course, it was his voice. He's been dead since 1982, but he was preaching on the radio and in the mid-90s. And a fella that I became acquainted with was driving to his office when he heard the preaching. And the preaching from Brother Roloff had to do with a man serving alcohol to somebody else and basically winding up in hell for doing it. Well, this guy had a bar and dance hall with his dad, and I'm telling you, God got on that message in such a way that it struck the fear of the Lord into that radio listener. He got to his office. He told his dad, we're shutting this business down. I've heard from God. And they turned that business into an exercise gymnasium, like an athletic club type thing. And that young man got saved, and he got in church, and he led his family to the Lord. You say, how in the world would that happen? God scared him. And you know what he did? He became one of God's jewels. Bible says about saints in the church age, we are living stones. And the Lord said, I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. And if certainly the Lord spares us. The Bible tells us in 1 Thessalonians that when we got saved, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 9, God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. We are spared from wrath. You and I will never face a judgment in hell as a result of our sins, because when we feared the Lord and put our faith in Jesus Christ, we became his children and we were spared. We'll also be spared from the tribulation. I know there are people who have been teaching you, either in church or on the radio, that you're going to go through the tribulation. And there's no benefit in that. There's no need in that. As a matter of fact, salvation changes during the tribulation time. It doesn't even fit New Testament biblical salvation. You don't find a person in the tribulation being born again and baptized by the Spirit of God into the body of Christ. Now, furthermore, we're also spared from the typical grief that the world goes through. There's no doubt we attain to the same afflictions of the world, but we don't grieve the same way the world does and don't sorrow the way the world does, because the Lord spares us from those things by his grace and by his mercy and by the presence of his Holy Spirit in us. Now, the next thing about people who fear the Lord is not only that they speak often to each other and think upon his name, and it's not only that they're his jewels and that they're spared, but people who fear the Lord discern between the righteous and the wicked, and between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. And the truth of the matter is, there are a lot of people today that name the name of Jesus, but you know something? They're not righteous. And there are a lot of people who have no discernment about that whatsoever. I'm amazed when I talk to Christians. I was talking to a young lady the other day, and she is an active soul winner. I mean, she actually spends some time on with young people trying to lead them to Jesus Christ. And I was visiting with her, and she was surprised to find out that some people who are members of other kinds of churches are not really saved, though they speak about Jesus. They haven't been made righteous yet. They're still wicked as far as their sin is concerned. I mean, in conduct, they may be some of the most righteous appearing people that you've ever seen, but they've never been washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. They've never had their sins cleansed. They've never been spiritually circumcised by the work of the Holy Spirit in removing the body of the sins of flesh away from the soul. And so therefore, though they act right, do things that are right, they have not received Jesus Christ as their Savior, and therefore they're not righteous. All our righteousnesses, the Bible says, are as filthy rags. And it's not until you're saved and been given God's righteousness that you're no longer wicked. And a person who fears the Lord can discern that. I mean, there are people that go to church today and their preacher's preaching heresy, and they have no earthly idea that their preacher is preaching heresy. But that's because they don't fear the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and they haven't even attained to the beginning. Furthermore, people that don't fear the Lord don't have any discernment between those that serve God and those that serve Him not. But people who fear the Lord know the difference. There are a lot of people who are very active in charitable things in the name of Jesus, but they're not really serving the Lord. They're serving themselves, or they're serving their religion, or they're serving men in the religion. But a true servant of the God that we worship, a true servant of the God of Jesus Christ, knows, and so do his people, whether somebody's in service for themselves or if they're in service for the Lord Jesus Christ. They can see it. They know it to be so. And so it's very important that you fear the Lord, so that you will speak often to others that are saved and think upon the name of the Lord and remember that you're his child by virtue of his salvation and spared from these horrible things that are coming, and that you can have some discernment between those things that are righteous and wicked and those things that are serving the Lord and not serving the Lord. The closer we get to the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, the more apostasy you're going to see, and the harder it's going to be to discern between the right and the wrong, and the only way you're going to do it is by fearing God, and we pray that you will.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.